Get the show on the road. Do, 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 do.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have topics planned out, but sometimes we go off the beaten path. And go into our own psyche and let you know.
We go into our own psyche?
Yes.
Okay. That sounds terrifying.
I mean, I don't think it's that terrifying. Although it might be.
Okay. All right. We like to bring a certain amount of uncertainty to your podcast listening.
That's right. We're trying to throw a curveball here.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're Cy Young Award winning pitchers.
Of podcasts.
Of podcasts. Podcast pitching.
Podcast pitching 101. Right here. The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Go.
Do they have to pay tuition?
No, we're nice guys.
Okay, fine. Well, they could still pay us an optional tuition if they want.
Well,
because I'm poor. Well, so if they want to make a donation.
Yeah, but we're not picky.
No.
But
obviously.
Yeah, but we appreciate anybody that listens to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If anything, just leave us a rating or a review or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
They both help. Ratings and reviews both help.
Yeah. So it's been a while since we recorded, actually. So how are you doing, Mike? I feel like it's been like forever since I've seen you.
It has been.
Should I explain why?
Sure.
Okay.
If you want to.
Because
you just dropped it out there.
Sorry. I know I'm cutting ahead of you already, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, it's not fine. It's fine.
But last week here in Philadelphia was a big charity event, the annual Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger. I work for WMMR on the side, and this was probably the biggest week of the year for us. We all get together, and we broadcast down at Xfinity Live in South Philadelphia, and we raise, we collect food for Philabundance and raise money for it. And it's just a great time. It's the largest food drive on the East Coast, and it's amazing. It lasts the whole week. Literally, you just stop by any time during the week. We're there, and it's so much fun to be a part of. But it is after a couple days, it's just like whoa, like it hits you physically.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it's all week long. You're outside. You're dealing with, you know, thousands of people.
I got to say, we got lucky, though, when it came to the elements. I think weather-wise, it was probably one of the best campouts that we ever had.
That's good. That promotes more people stopping by, and obviously it makes things a lot easier for you guys. You don't have to deal with rain and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. The final totals this year is just stellar. 1.68 million pounds of food.
Wow.
That's just ridiculous to even think about.
That is like, a lot of food.
Yeah. Like, I my mind can't wrap around it. That's just ridiculous.
That's an insane amount of food.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And also, since they do cash donations, also raised $272,000 in cash donations as well.
Man, that is going to do so much good. So that's for what? The Philadelphia area?
Philabundance. Yep, Philabundance takes care of the poor and the needy here in Philadelphia.
Man, that's awesome.
Yep, and estimated...
You love to see great charities like that do that type of amazing work.
Yep, an estimated 2.2 million meals will be made from this. So, I mean,
that's
It's just one of those things I'm just amazed that I get to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, literally changing so many people's holiday season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Right. And it's just all worth it. I'm a little bit tired from it still, and my voice—I
can tell.
I hope my voice doesn't go out from the podcast because my voice has been a little nasally.
You got to stay hydrated. And not with NyQuil.
Yeah, I was telling Mike, I've been living on NyQuil the last couple of days.
You got to. If you're feeling run down and you're spending that much time out in the elements and, you know, long, long hours, it's helpful.
But NyQuil is amazing. It literally is like Dennis Leary says. Like, you literally just take, like, the 30 milliliter shot, and you're just like, yep, bam. I'm going to have a good night of sleep.
There you go.
Excuse me. Done.
That's after the podcast.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah. I'm ready to go. I actually had an energy drink before I got here, so I'm rip-roaring ready to go. I'm on the complete opposite spectrum now.
Rich on an energy drink. That's terrifying.
I'm very extremes. I'm either out or I'm ready to go.
It's either 0 or 100.
Right.
Nothing in between.
Exactly. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy this podcast.
I'm sure they will. So that's awesome.
Yeah. It was
Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah. It was definitely a very good and a very amazing amazing charity event. I love it. I love it every year it comes around. But what about you, Mike? What have you been up to?
I didn't do anything that amazing or that influential. I started a new anime series. My brother was like, I want to watch an anime series. Do you want to watch it with me? And I usually say no. I don't want to watch, because a lot of the anime he watches, no offense, they're like 700 episode series.
Naruto.
And I'm just like, I don't have time to watch like 300 to 400 hours of television.
Anji!
Exactly.
Yeah, he loves his Naruto and his Japanese imitations.
Anji! He really does. But this show is just balls to the walls insane. Like, it is absolutely bonkers. It's called Assassination Classroom. And the premise of the show is that there's a school, there's a classroom of failing students who get a new teacher, and the teacher's job is to teach them how to become assassins, and their target is the teacher. Wait, there's more. The teacher blew up the moon and is planning to blow up the earth unless his students can kill him. But wait, there's more. The teacher is a giant yellow octopus whose face changes colors.
I wish I was an octopus. A f***ing octopus. 8 loving arms and all those suckers. Know what I mean?
Wait! There's more! He moves at Mach 20 and is invincible.
I wish I was an octopus. A f***ing octopus. 8 loving arms and all those suckers. Know what I mean?
So, not Al Pacino.
No.
Then I'm not interested.
Rich. This show is absolutely insane. When Jimmy told me the premise of it and we watched the first episode, it's just bonkers. It's so absurd. But you know what's so refreshing about it is the fact that it acknowledges that it's so crazy. Like, the students are like, how can an octopus move Mach 20? This octopus is flying around. There was one episode where he flies to Italy to get fresh gelato and he comes back in like 3 seconds. And it's like, okay. And they just roll with it. They're just like, all right, fine, whatever. It's crazy, but this is our teacher, and we got to kill him.
Who's an octopus?
Who's an octopus?
I wish I was an octopus. A f***ing octopus. 8 loving arms and all those suckers. Know what I mean?
Okay.
I got to say, though, the show is really good. I'm having a great time with it. It's a comedy. Obviously, it's a comedy. You can't take this stuff seriously. The thing has it's an octopus, but it has a smiley face and fingers that look slightly phallic.
8 loving arms.
8 loving arms.
I wish I was an octopus. A f***ing octopus. 8 loving arms and all those suckers. Know what I mean?
It is a trip and a half. So if you have nothing better to do and you feel like watching the most insanely absurd show ever, like, I don't know what the creators were on. They were on basically everything. Go check out Assassination Classroom. It's crazy.
Okay.
It is unadulterated insanity.
There you go. Assassination Classroom.
Highly recommend it.
All right. There you go. Mike's anime.
Anime review.
Review.
I've only ever watched like a handful of animes, and some of them aren't even considered anime. Like Avatar The Last Airbender. Jubi gets bound out of shape. It's not an anime. I'm like, well, what's the style of animation? There you go. It's okay. An anime.
Well, so. That's already a step behind me. I don't really watch anime or animation.
Avatar The Last Airbender is really good. That's basically Western animation.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sure.
Rich is like, you lost me at anime.
You had me back with octopus, but other than that,
I wish I was an octopus. A f***ing octopus. 8 loving arms and all those suckers. Know what I mean?
I never thought I'd get this much use out of that clip.
Well, you know, if I keep talking about this show, you know, the next couple of episodes, maybe.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm only halfway through the first season.
Replay all of Al Pacino's octopus clips.
It's not a long series. There's only 44 episodes.
Okay. Which so is it is doable.
Which is basically
a
mini series in anime terms.
Interesting. So there you go. If you guys are interested, you can check that out. Is that on Netflix?
It's on Hulu.
Hulu.
If you have Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah, Hulu, yeah.
The Hulu people, you have that at your disposal.
Hulu's actually not that bad.
Do they still do ads?
You can pay to not have ads.
Okay.
It's a little bit more expensive. It's like $13 for
so Netflix
ad-free. Basically, it's like a dollar or two more expensive, yeah.
Okay.
But not that bad.
All right.
Anyway, there you but go. That's neither Hulu, here nor there.
The Hulu audience, that's your thing that you can get. I got to mention one more thing else. Something else I got to mention.
Okay, go ahead. Well, it's been a while since we recorded. We have a lot to catch up on.
Right. So, even though I was coming off of camp out, wasn't feeling 100%, I still made it out on Saturday night. And our good friends over at Ghoul BC had another show out in Tom and Jerry's in Delco. And I decided to go out and check them out. And they were, again, just rocking the joint.
Nice.
It's always good to see them live. And it was a great night of rock. There was also not just Ghoul BC, which is a ghost tribute band. There was also a... I forget the band name because I'm listening to Ghost. Damn it, Ghost is interrupting. Looks That Kill. They were the name of the band. And they were a Motley Crue. Thank you. Motley Crue tribute band. That was the one I was looking through.
I wish I could help you. I'm just sitting there like, I don't know, man.
You know what it is? It's weird because I'm hearing Ghost. And
yeah,
like,
and you're trying to think of another song for this other band.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it was a good night of rock. The Motley Crue tribute band rocked the joint as well. And Ghoul BC, always love checking out the guys. I got there early to talk with them. You know what the very first thing they said to me was?
What?
We want to do the Family Feud thing, because we were talking after the interview that I do the 24-hour game show marathon.
Right, right.
That was the first thing they said to me, was we want to do the Family Feud thing. I'm like, the 24-hour game show marathon?
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
So, if we have Ghoul BC.
Can we do... Now, I don't know. I'm not part of the 24-hour game show marathon. Can we do, like, Ghoul BC versus the Crispy Noodle or something like that?
You know what I was thinking? We need to get, like, another band. We need
Ooh,
to do...
Battle of the Bands Family Feud.
Yeah, we need to do, like, a Battle of the Family Feud rock bands. I don't know how we can...
The title needs a little bit of work.
Yeah.
But it's there.
We'll get there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So...
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I'll have to see if we can get a second... tribute band, but I love the fact that was the first thing that they like asked me that night.
They want to do the Family Feud.
Yeah, so
well, Family Feud's I think that's one of the best games to play.
I think it's one of the strongest game shows you can try and recreate. It's
everybody,
very easy.
Everybody basically
it.
Gets the concept.
Yeah,
and it's really fun for viewers because they can play along with it. You know, they're like guessing, you know, what the next one's going to be and whatnot. And
yeah.
It's,
and also,
I always have a blast playing it.
And also, Ghoul BC has enough to actually fill a whole row on their own. There's Papa.
They don't even mix and match. And
right. There's Papa and literally four other band members.
How many people? Is it four or five?
You can do either four or five.
Okay.
For a Family Feud, yeah.
Okay.
It's optional.
Optional.
But it was just funny. That was the first thing they mentioned to me on Saturday night. They're like, hey, Rich, what's up? Hey, remember that Family Feud thing? I'm like, what? Like, I just mentioned it like kind of like
right,
an offshoot.
Right.
But they remembered it. So we're going to have to get them incorporated in the madness of the game show marathon, which we'll announce the date for that as well. It's usually around June.
Yeah,
so.
We still have a ways to go.
Oh, yeah. We still have, yeah. But, hey,
you guys are probably already planning a little bit.
It doesn't help to you know, start to get things in a row. I just love the game show marathon. It's like my summer camp out for hunger, if you think about it.
It's like we have the the big charity event in winter for Camp Out for Hunger, and then the summer is Game Show Marathon. So there it's like go. I have like those.
And it's a nice balance,
right?
It's a yin and yang,
right? So, with Camp Out over, I have to start. Yeah, we have to start planning. So. Why not get started with Ghoul PC? So
you're already booking guests. Look
right, I'm already booking guests.
Hard at work. You deserve a raise, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll let you know when the date is settled for the 2018 version of Game Show Marathon and all the announcements that will come from there. So keep an eye out for that. All right, I think that's enough introductions. It's been a while, 15 minutes. I'm sorry, you guys. But
they love it.
Yeah, they love it. And that means we need to roll into our first segment. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here in this first segment. And it's time to do the first bit where we try to knock out a quick topic in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the 2 minute drill. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get the clock going and begin. Mike, go.
All right, let's do this. This week in the 2 minute drill, we have one big story from the Big Apple. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And the New York Football Giants are in free fall right now after a disastrous week 13. It began with the team's unceremonious benching of two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback Eli Manning. Everybody hated this move.
Yeah.
Everybody hated this move. Even if you're not a Giants fan, you hate this move to disrespect a player like that. They basically said, we'll let you start to keep your consecutive game streak going, but we're not going to let you finish games. We're going to bring in the young guys at halftime. And Eli Manning said, I'm not starting games just to keep a streak going if you're not going to let me compete. So he accepted the benching. So that caused an entire firestorm. And of course, a team in turmoil easily loses to the Oakland Raiders that week, which directly led to the firing of head coach Ben McAdoo and the team general manager, Jerry Reese. This team was widely considered to be the favorites to win the division before the season. I think the Giants would just be happy now ending the season without any more controversy after the past week or so.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rich? What's going on in New York?
It's a dumpster fire.
To put it lightly.
Yeah, I mean, but to be honest with you, this team really wasn't going anywhere. When Odell Beckham got hurt, when
Brandon Marshall,
yeah, when he went got hurt, it was just like one bad thing after another. But what sent it over the edge was McAdoo was just not handling the team properly.
He completely mismanaged the Eli Manning benching. I get it. He's getting old. He's getting slow. But he's a two-time Super Bowl winning champion for your team. You got to show him a little bit more respect than that.
14 years, never missed a game.
Yeah, and you just bench him and essentially say, we'll let you keep the streak, but we don't want you to play and compete. That's a slap in the face. I wouldn't be surprised if he follows in his older brother's footsteps and finds a team on the cusp of winning to try and sign on with them.
Jacksonville, maybe?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. McAdoo is McAdoo. I was saving that one.
That was brilliant.
Thank
McAdoo
you.
Is McAdoo. Rich Liebig, 2017.
Yeah, I was saving that one.
Oh, my God. You should write headlines for ESPN.
Yeah, take that. but now
I loved it.
Thank you.
You know what we don't love, though?
Yeah, we got to get to this.
This next topic, I think I speak for everyone in Philadelphia when I say that Philadelphia fans are hurting a little bit right now. After watching their Philadelphia Eagles fly a little bit too high, a little too close to the sun, suffer a devastating loss to the surging Seahawks, 24-10.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah, this was not a fun weekend
for
Eagles fans.
And it's not like it was a good game either. Let's not try and kid ourselves. The score, we only put up 3 points in the first three quarters.
Yeah.
That's a point per quarter if you have trouble figuring that math out like I did.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah.
So, where do we start here? What went wrong? How do we start to dissect this, to analyze this? Was there anything good that happened in the game?
I don't think
that
so.
That was the only answer that you need. to that question.
I mean, this was just one of those games where the Eagles came out flat. They were just making basic mistakes and missteps. I mean, you had Carson Wentz fumbling the ball.
That was bad.
I knew it. That was when he fumbled that ball and they got called for a touchback. I was like, the Eagles aren't winning this one.
It's just things,
that was just
things are not going their way.
Things were going off the rails. The basics weren't being maintained. And I hate to say it, but it's kind of a callback to last week. They had four fumbles in that game last week.
Yep.
And
putting the ball on the ground will not win you games.
Right. I don't care how good your offense is or how good your defense is. Turnovers kill you.
Yes, they do.
And
especially when you're the visiting team.
And the Eagles have been committing way too many of them recently.
Yeah.
It's going to come back to haunt them. This has to be a problem that needs to be dealt with in practice.
Yes, it does. And I don't know how they coach up something like that. You know, I understand Carson Wentz.
Ball protection. You need to run ball protection drills.
Yeah. I mean, last week it looked like some of them were just good defensive plays. But the one that Carson Wentz gave up, it was both not enough care on his part.
Just deflating.
Yeah.
And that sucked all the momentum out of the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not to take away from the Seahawks defense. That was a phenomenal defensive play. But, you know, you got to protect that ball. But it's more than just the fumble. Carson Wentz overall did not look like the Carson Wentz from the previous 11 weeks. The first half, I don't think he targeted Alshon Jeffrey once.
Yeah.
I think he only targeted Zach Ertz, you know, one time. Your two leading receivers, you have one target between the two of them. I don't know if that's play calling. I don't know if that's Carson Wentz not feeling confident. He looked off the whole game. I watched a few clips of people breaking down his mechanics, and he's falling back into what was happening late last season where his stance is way too wide, and you saw those two passes sail way over Nelson Agholor. I mean, those were touchdown passes if he leads Agholor correctly. You know the one I'm talking about where he sails over him and then Agholor has to jump to try and catch it and it was just over his head? Yeah, you got to put that money. That's a touchdown. He had like 15, 20 yards of open space in front of him.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, there were these big miscues that the Eagles could have done that would have made this a much closer game early.
Right. I mean, you're leaving a lot of points on the board. He overthrew Agholor. He underthrew Agholor. Gave up the fumble. The play calling in the first half, we did not look like the Eagles of old. We had a lot of really conservative plays, a lot of short runs, a lot of short dink and dunk passes. They weren't letting Carson Wentz open it up. They weren't letting him run that offense the way that we have been. You see them start the third quarter, and they drive all the way down, and then they fumble it. But the start of that third quarter is like, okay, maybe we're going to see the Eagles from the previous 11 weeks. And then it went right back, after that fumble, went right back to the conservative play calling. The only point that we scored is when Carson Wentz made those two circus throws.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like falling over and he sidearms it 50 yards down the field. You know?
Yeah, it was an ugly game.
It was a very ugly game.
This brought the Eagles back down to earth.
It really did. It was a very humbling loss. I'm really mad at the Eagles for letting everything get to their heads. I don't think they put in the proper preparation, or they wouldn't have come out against the Seahawks like that. They're missing two defensive backs.
They're two top defensive backs,
and you're throwing short routes. You have to attack that side of the field where they're missing players. You have to take the pressure off of Carson Wentz. You have to put that defense on their heels.
Also, can we go back to another Philly sports stereotype here of a former Philadelphia player coming back to haunt us? Byron Maxwell actually had a pretty good game.
I mean, he gave up the big one to Agholor, but other than that, he was
locked down.
He was doing pretty well, yeah. And it just pisses me off.
Yeah.
I saw him on the field, and I'm like, oh, sure, you couldn't do that for us.
Right.
What a...
Yeah, why can't you do that when you're with us?
Yeah,
always seems
he
to happen.
Had, he had seven tackles and two pass deflections.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Come on!
Anyway.
What a punk-ass bitch. I'm mad after this game. I'm mad because the Seahawks were good, but that was a winnable game.
It was.
We left three scores on the board, and I'm not excusing the way the Eagles played. It just frustrates me because I think they're better than that, and they didn't show it.
Ah, now we get to the follow-up question here, because you think they're better than that. However, the Eagles' hate has been rampant on...
Oh, it's been real.
...on all the football talk boards and NFL shows and everything like that, because people are looking at the Eagles with a magnifying glass, and they're saying, the haters are saying that the Eagles are probably benefiting from a very easy schedule. We posted a little image of the games that they've won and the games that they've lost, and I think it is worth discussing. So basically, Mike, what do you think? Is the 10-2 record deserving of this Eagles team, or are they benefiting from a very easy schedule? They were last place in the division last year.
We were, and that comes with
an easier schedule.
You know, this is a really tricky question because, especially since, you know, we're still in the thick of things. We don't know. We could, you know, talk today and say one thing. They could come out on Sunday and absolutely crush the Rams. Or they could have a 30-point loss to the Rams. The one thing that I will say about this list that I find a little misleading that I wish people would take into account is the simple fact that these teams are, yes, okay, there's only one team over 500. The thing that I would like people to pause and take into account, if you remove the Eagles' record from each of these, if you remove the Eagles' loss from each of the wins, say, you know, we beat the Redskins twice. You take away those two losses. If we hadn't played the Redskins those two times, they wouldn't have lost those two games. They're 5-5, right? If you take away the Eagles win against the Chargers, they're 6-5. You take away the Eagles win against the Cowboys, they're 6-5. So it's a little misleading to say, well, they've only beaten so many teams over 500, when really our victories against those teams are directly contributing to them being below 500. So I think it's a little bit disingenuous right there off the bat that you have to take into account the Eagles' wins against the teams. That being said, we have benefited from playing the Bears, from playing the 49ers, for playing the Giants, you know, as terrible as they are right now. Right now our division is not playing well. We've certainly benefited from that. Maybe the Eagles' record is a little bit inflated, but I don't think they're a bad team. Okay, I don't think that the hate is deserved. You know, we lost to an 8-4 team. The Seahawks are a very good team. It's not like we lost to the Cardinals, okay? Or we lost to the 49ers. We lost to a playoff team. And yes, it looked ugly against that playoff team, but we also, keep in mind, have played the 4th, 6th, and 12th ranked pass defenses and put up 30 points on each of them. Okay? The Broncos, the Panthers, these teams have good defenses, and we managed to do well against those good defenses. So I think just looking at the win-loss record is, it doesn't tell the whole story. And that's my thing.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, I've been talking for a while now.
I feel like your blood pressure is shooting through the roof right now.
I want a whole dissertation. It's a raw nerve right now because I'm mad about the Eagles, and I understand the criticism, and I understand that, you know, looking at it realistically, we're probably not a 14-2 team. We're not a 15-1 team. You know, I don't think anybody expected us to be that good. But I don't think we're as terrible as people are making us out to be, the worst 10-1 team ever. You know, I see the post on Reddit, oh, they're the worst 10-1 team ever. It's like, okay, well, we're 10-1. What's your team done?
Yeah.
Okay?
So, yeah, my take is kind of a similar take. Because one of the best quotes I ever heard from Bill Belichick was, you go out there and it doesn't matter who your opponent is, you just focus on taking them down that week. It doesn't matter if they're 2-10 or 10-2.
Right.
That's your opponent that week.
It's the same preparation. It's the same skill involved because any team can beat any other team. The Bears have beat 3 playoff teams.
Yeah, 3-9.
They only have 3 wins. They've beaten 3 playoff teams. So are we going to say, well, the Steelers suck? They lost to the Bears? Nobody's saying that.
Yeah.
The Steelers division ain't that good either. I'm just saying.
I like that. That was like a sing-songy kind of. Ain't that good either?
Ain't that good either. Everybody's getting all excitable because they think that we have this super easy schedule. These are NFL teams. It's not like we're playing high school teams.
And we're not playing the Browns.
Exactly. We don't get to play the Browns twice a year. Steelers, Ravens.
Yeah.
Come at me.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah, if you want to come at Mike, make sure to tweet at him, at Mikey Costanzo.
I'll take it.
But I would say it's kind of a lame argument. I would say maybe it inflates the record by one or two games. Maybe the in real, if quote realistic, if you want to be more realistic, maybe the Eagles are more of an 8-4, 9-3 kind of a team as opposed to a 10-2, 11-1 team. But nevertheless, the bottom line is you have to go out there every week. You have to put together your game plan. You have to get together. You have to be one as a team, and you have to go out and you have to win those games.
Yeah,
New England. I love how I'm the one quoting New England here, but New England goes out no matter who the opponent is and they dominate.
Yeah.
They put up 12-4 records, 13-3 records. Why? Because no matter who the opponent is, they just go and they game plan, and they don't give a crap if it's the hapless Jets or if it's the rival Broncos or anything like that. They just go out and they take care of business. And as Bill Belichick says, that's what good teams do.
Yes.
You go out and you win, period.
Right.
You don't care.
And let's not forget, we've won in stunning fashion for a lot of these games. So you're telling me 37-9 against the Cowboys. You're telling me Zeke is worth 28 points?
No. Yeah, don't give me that. Oh, yeah.
All right, maybe he's worth 14. I'll even give him 7. Screw it. I'll give them 21 points for Ezekiel
Elliott.
Still
doesn't win. Still doesn't cover
it. It's like
it.
The deflated football argument.
Right.
It was a pound under deflated. You lost by like 30 points.
Colts. Yeah.
You know?
You know what? Yeah. Anybody that is saying that the Eagles are overrated needs to go join the Colts organization. Go ahead. Have some fun
over there. The problem with this argument is that there's only 12 good teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I'd say even less.
Fair point.
Probably like 10.
That helps my argument. What are the rest? They're crap. The reason you're a playoff team is because you're beating the teams who are crap. That's why only 12 teams make it to the playoffs. If every team was a playoff team, you'd have 32 playoff teams. It is literally impossible by the laws of mathematics.
And we'd be the NBA.
Yes, yes. There has to be losers. It's not our fault that these teams are losers because of us.
Yeah. So
you're telling me the Patriots only play playoff teams? You're telling me the Saints only play playoff teams?
No. But,
right. And, you know, it's...
Yeah, the Patriots get the Jets twice. Come on.
And the Bills twice. I know the Bills are a little bit better than the Jets, but for a long time, they've been soft targets.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the Colts and the cakewalk they've had for the past decade.
Yeah.
Until recently.
Until the Jaguars and Titans have come to
form. Did anybody ever say Peyton Manning's record is inflated?
I did.
Well, I did too, because I didn't like Peyton Manning.
I did. Mike, you'll back me up on that. I know. I always thought Peyton Manning was a little overrated.
He won 2 Super Bowls.
Still overrated. Anyway.
I think he is too, but he still won 2.
Great. He's a great season quarterback, but in the playoffs, he was horrible.
Got to take his little brother in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. I'd rather take Eli than Peyton
Giants?
In the playoffs. Yeah.
No, we're going to go with Geno Smith, the future of the New York Giants. Yeah, you know what?
The guy who replaced
There's so
Mark
many other
Sanchez.
Teams to criticize than the Eagles. The Eagles have done so much right this year, and they're going to harp on them for only... You can only play the games you're assigned.
Yeah. It's not college football where you get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
That BS.
And to be fair, I don't think anybody thought the Eagles were going to go 15-1.
I know you're not going to like this, but I'll bring up college football here just for
That's
a second.
Fine. It's still remotely related to football. I will allow it.
Because we do get requests like, how come you guys don't talk about college football?
Because it's terrible.
I hate the way it's set
terrible.
Up.
I'm sorry, whoever requested that. It's a terrible league.
You want us to talk about systems that are truly unfair. I mean, college football. It's like if you're
strength
not
strength of victory.
If you're not
quality
in,
loss.
If you're not in, the Big Ten or one of those three nationally televised conferences, you're not in it.
Yeah.
So, like, why even bother? Like, I don't even understand why people follow their own college football.
I can't get into college football.
Yeah.
I can't do it. There's too many teams. The playoff structure is all sorts of messed up. And not only that, but it's just way too overhyped for me. It's almost cultish. Some of these college teams,
right? So
cultish.
So the reason why was this
the Ohio State.
Oh God, yeah, that pisses me off. But anyway,
we are Penn State. It's like, all right, calm down with the religious chants.
Yes. but this week they had their selections of who was making the 4-team college playoff.
That's it? 4?
Yeah, that's it. They only do 4.
There's 50 states with, like, thousands of colleges, and they take 4.
Right.
Again.
Right. And that's considered to be open, you know, because they only used to only do the 2 teams for the national title, and that was it.
It's weird. It's all sorts of weird. Yeah. Anyway, so what's the selection?
My thing would be, if you wanted to fix college football, you have to expand it to at least 8 teams. At least.
I can't
believe that's not even on the table. That's how conservative and backwards the NCAA selection committee is.
Got to give teams a shot.
Yeah. And secondly, yeah, you got to open it up to other other teams and other conferences. Because come on, take a guess at who's in it. Alabama. Like you can almost predict. You don't even have to follow college football.
Yeah.
You already know who's going to be in the frickin' college playoff bracket. It just pisses me off. So that's why we don't cover college football. It pisses me off.
This is a very angry sports sampler. Like, I feel angry.
Yeah, a little bit.
At just the Seahawks, at the Eagles, at college football in general. Just this rage is building up inside of me. So who are the selections? I thought you said you were going to say the selections.
Sorry.
You're just like, I hate it. Next topic.
Yeah, because I do. It pisses me off that they can't.
Usually I'm the person that says I hate it and I brush it aside. You're like, I hate it. And that was the end of that chapter.
Yeah, swing my scarf around. But no, it just pisses me off that it's just, they just limit it.
You can't artificially limit something and say, oh, it's selective. Like, no, that's what they do with diamonds to jack up the cost of diamonds. They artificially create a scarcity, when really they could mine enough diamonds in Africa to give everybody on the planet Earth a diamond, but they don't in order to jack up the prices. It's the same concept here. They artificially limit the amount of teams in the playoffs to make it seem more elite and selective, when really it's just all a bunch of BS. It annoys me.
So anyway, yeah,
so did
sorry.
You find the...
Yeah, so anyway, get back
Richmond
to it.
Jiggers?
So first is the Sugar Bowl between number one ranked Clemson and number 4 ranked Alabama.
What is the Sugar Bowl?
So whoever wins that...
Is that the championship?
No, it's the semifinals.
Okay.
Because it's a 4-team bracket. Stay with me, Mike.
Okay. I automatically hate this.
Yeah, it's only 4 teams.
Each game is a bowl game. It's like, we're here a wild card weekend in the NFL, and we're playing the Pepsi Bowl.
Right.
It's like, okay, you won the Pepsi Bowl. What does that mean? Oh, it means I get to advance to the next round of the playoffs. It's insanity.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first one. And then the second game, the Rose Bowl, will be number 2 Oklahoma versus number 3 Georgia.
Okay.
The Oklahoma Sooners. No surprise.
I don't know anything about college football, so that's just it's another team
right,
to me.
Well,
they're good. I've heard their name
every
before.
Every year.
Oklahoma and Alabama.
Either Oklahoma, Alabama, or Ohio State's in it. Every year, without fail.
The Ohio State.
No, I'm not going to say it like that. No.
Rich.
Stupid.
Rich. It's the
come at me.
Ohio State.
Come at me.
There's literally no other state school in Ohio. It's the Ohio State.
Fine, then I'm going to call myself the Rich Liebig.
There
like,
you
what
go.
Do you want? Yeah, what
there
do you want
you
me
go.
To do? Come at me, bro. Anyway.
So, and those are the 4 teams?
Right.
Now, what's the championship called? What bowl is that?
That's the national championship game.
There's no bowl name for that?
No, just called the
that's
national
championship. That's
stupid. Everybody.
I don't understand. You have 2 titled games and then just the championship.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
So the
NFL doesn't do it. It's the wild card round, the division round, the conference round, and then the Super Bowl. Like the Ohio State. This is the Rose Bowl to play in the championship game.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Does that make... It's like, oh, we're playing in the Super Bowl. To do what? Oh, to play the championship game. Does that make any sense to you?
Anyway,
I'm like livid right now.
Yeah, college football sucks. Anyway,
Other question: don't they have a bunch of bowl games? Like, there's more bowl. Games.
Oh yeah, there's other bowl games.
So what are they playing for? So who's the best team?
Whoever
if
wins,
all these teams
allegedly
win,
whoever wins this college football playoff.
Well, how do we know that they're better than a team
because they were
that
ranked,
won another bowl game?
Because they were ranked by
and
the,
who ranked them?
The freaking
the AP,
the coaches and the AP and
the coaches who coach the teams.
They all have an aggregate ranking and formula, and it gets
so
shot.
So is the
into
Rotten Tomatoes
and,
of football?
Yes.
What is this? You
it's
can't
stupid.
Rotten Tomatoes your way to a championship.
It's stupid, and I don't like it. We all agree. So now,
not college football. They disagree.
Right. All right. Should we move into our Fantastic Four picks?
We've lingered long enough on college football.
Yeah. Here we go.
Let's get to real football.
Yeah. Go back to real football. Time for our Fantastic Four picks for week number 14.
All right. First up, this is going to be an exciting one. It is a battle for the AFC West. Who would have thought that there would be a three-way tie in the AFC West between the Raiders, the Chiefs, and the Chargers? Well, this week, two of those teams face off against each other. We have the Oakland Raiders traveling to Kansas City to face against the free-falling Chiefs. Rich, who wins this one and takes a step closer to winning that division? This is a tough one.
I have no clue.
Do you think that Oakland would be 6-6 at this point?
Maybe, but I didn't think 6-6 would be enough to win this division. It's really more of Kansas City falling out of grace. I mean, they were...
The way these two teams started... This is a shocking game.
Right. Man, I don't know. This one's tough. I'm going to say Kansas City at home. Ooh. I can't. Man, if Kansas City loses this game at home to the Surge, to the Raiders and fall even further in the division race, they're done. They are out of this. Don't look for them to come back. And actually, to be honest with you, I think that puts Andy Reid in the hot seat. I mean, you started off this season 4-0.
I think it was more than that. 5-0? I'm pretty sure it was 6-0.
No, because they're 6-6 now.
Maybe it was like 5-0.
I think either 4-0 or 5-0.
Okay, yeah.
You started off the season red hot, and then you just crumbled. I believe they lost last. I think they're
1-6.
They've lost their last 5 out of 6 games, I believe.
Yeah.
So
that's what it is.
If Kansas City loses at home, I think AD Reid goes on the hot seat.
Wow.
So I'm going to go at Kansas City just because it's a necessity for Andy Reid.
Oh, boy. This is a tough one. You're absolutely right. And it is a necessity for Andy Reid, but the Chiefs are just free-falling. I don't know if there's anything they can do to make it any better. I mean, they're losing heartbreaking games. The Giants, Buffalo, the Jets. These are not good teams that they're losing to. Everybody's complaining about the Eagles. These guys are losing to these bad teams. Against a real team like the Raiders? I don't know, man. I'm going with the Raiders on this one. Even though they're away, I know Kansas City's tough to play at. I think I see the Raiders putting the nail in the coffin for the Chiefs with this one. It's going to be a close one, though. Their previous game was 31-30, so expect another one like that.
Another nail biter.
Next up, we have an NFC playoff preview. The Minnesota Vikings, the currently number one seeded Minnesota Vikings, traveling to Carolina to face off against the Panthers, who are trying to fend off the Saints down south. Rich, how do you see this one going?
Well, to be honest with you, I think Carolina is a little bit of an inflated record as well. They are not owning that division. They're not going to win the division. They lost 2 to the Saints, so they're going to have to settle for a wild card spot. Vikings are going to roll in the town. Casey Keenum, I swear to you, is an offensive powerhouse all of a sudden.
He is.
If you need a quarterback, by the way, in fantasy, I'd say look to Casey Keenum. He is lighting it up. I like the combination of the fact that offense is rejuvenated. Their defense is shut down. They're in the number one seed right now. I'm going to go with Vikings.
I really, really want the Panthers. Need the Panthers to win. And that's why I'm taking the Vikings.
Okay.
Because every time I need or want something, the universe does the opposite. The Vikings have the 5th-ranked offense, the 2nd-ranked defense. They've been just stomping opponents left and right.
So basically you're using the George Costanza argument.
What? If I want something, it's
the
opposite?
Yeah, do the opposite.
Yeah. No, I honestly think that the Vikings have got this one. They're just the better team overall. Vikings. Next up, we have an interesting matchup here. Out with the old, in with the new. The battle-tested Seahawks are traveling to Jacksonville to face off against the surprise upstart team of the year, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Rich, can the Seahawks win another stunning game against a potential playoff team?
I don't think so. I think,
no.
I think Jacksonville...
I hate them. They're going to lose. Sorry.
I think Jacksonville at home is going to be pretty difficult for Seattle. Jacksonville is much improved from last year. They have the best cornerback duo in the league, no joke. They are going to shut down Russell Wilson and the offense, I think, and they should be able to win this one at home. I'm going with Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville is playing amazing football right now. They have the number one defense right now. They're getting it done. They're finding ways to win games. They're averaging almost 150 rushing yards per game. I mean, they're really, really doing well. I really love this story of the Jacksonville Jaguars just owning this season. Finally, out of all those teams, I don't think anybody expected them to be pushing for this division. Not only that, but I think the Seahawks, I always think they've been a little cocky. I always think they've been a little full of themselves. And that's why I see them stumbling against the Jaguars. After their big win against the Eagles, they're going to be all full of themselves. They're not going to be looking ahead to the Jags. I think the Jags have got this one. Speaking of the Eagles, though, we have our final game. It is a battle for the NFC. We're facing off against another top team. The Philadelphia Eagles are traveling to Los Angeles to face off against the Rams. They're staying on the West Coast after the Seahawks win. Do you think not traveling back and forth will help them in this one?
You know what's funny? They're staying over at the Anaheim Angels baseball park. Did you see that post?
I did not.
The Eagles made a post about it. They actually had to convert the baseball field into a football field so they can practice. It's hilarious. Anyway, sadly, I think this road trip is going to be the thing that exposes the flaws in the Eagles team. I'm going to go with the Rams at home. I think there's just too many factors for the Eagles to overcome here. The Rams are going to be nice and comfy at home. The Rams, they got Todd Gurley. I mean, he'll just run circles around them. I'm getting the finger from everybody. I'm sorry. but I think to be honest with you, I thought the Seahawks was the game that they could have won. The Rams was going to be the one that was going to be a definite loss. So, unfortunately, I'm going to say that this is going to be two losses here back-to-back because of the road trip. I think L.A. Rams take this one.
You know what? I mean, logically, yes, definitely I agree. But based on my emotions and my hope, I'm gonna have a little bit of hope here and say that the Eagles can pull this one off.
You fool!
The last one, what?
Because I thought you were doing the opposite logic, George Costanza logic.
I can't, Rich.
Okay.
I don't. So here's the thing: the last time the Eagles lost, they went on a 9-game winning streak.
You've doomed the Eagles.
Crap. Never mind. The Rams are going to win. No, it's true. I want the Eagles to win, so the Rams will probably win. I think this one's going to be closer than people think.
Okay, there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number 14 of the NFL season. All right, there you go. That's our sports sampler for this week.
It always sucks picking Eagles games after a loss.
Yeah.
Because the brain goes one way and the heart goes the other. Oh, the life of an Eagles fan.
But we'll see how well the Eagles do this week. By the way, also the first week of fantasy football playoffs. So I hope you guys made it to the playoffs and keep on going in your quest for fantasy football dominance. I am trying to as well. But that will wrap up the sports sampler for now. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still have plenty more shows still to come. Don't you dare go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiMatteo, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. A lot of things that we dealt with in the first part of the show, between everything we were up to in the introduction and then the sports sampler, everything going crazy. But there's something that I wanted to point out. I made a reference in the first part of the show to NyQuil because I consumed a lot of NyQuil
right.
In the past week or so to get over from a little bit of a cold and just exhaustion
right.
from Camp Out for Hunger. And I made a reference to Dennis Leary, and just in case, I just want to bring everybody up to speed in case you never heard this bit. This is one of the funniest bits from Dennis Leary's stand-up career about NyQuil. Here it is.
I love NyQuil, man, because NyQuil has never changed, man. It has never changed. All the other medicines now are doing that inner child thing. We know there's a small child inside of you, so now we have grape and cherry and orange flavor, not NyQuil. They still have the original green death f***ing flavor. You know why? Because it doesn't matter what it tastes like. You take one shot, you go, hey, this tastes like, bang, you're in the coma already. It says on the back of the NyQuil box, on the back of the box, it says, may cause drowsiness. It should say, don't make any f***ing plans, okay?
Yeah, there you go. That's the way I felt. I was like, don't make any plans with me. I'm out.
Knock you right out.
Yeah. With the original green death flavor.
Oh, you really do have to wonder about some of the flavors they came up with for some of the medicines, man.
Yeah. Whew. But NyQuil was true to itself.
That's right.
Didn't do any of this flavored BS.
That's right.
But I'll tell you original. What. Tell you what, it works, man. You down a couple shots of that, you're out for the rest of the night, you feel refreshed the next morning.
You swear by NyQuil.
I do, man. It works. For a common cold, it works.
Yeah.
I feel 10 times better the following day. So,
there you go, folks.
NyQuil, promoted here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. should get a bonus or something.
We should. Well, you know, they probably make lots of money.
Yeah, so. Vix, come on, help me out.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that we are all refreshed and ready to go, it's time for the second part of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Did some major damage.
It's like I'm not the guy with a bat. I'm just the guy that makes your kids spaghetti. It's like I'm not the guy with a bat.
Do I bash some gingers, don't man?
Yeah, so there you go. The
you
internet,
love your Negan.
The internet is a wonderful place because
yes,
they make remixes about Negan and turn it into songs like this. From Saka Tume on YouTube. Mixing Negan's lines into the song, I'm Not the Guy with the Bat. It just works perfectly.
Yeah, I love it.
Have you been following Walking Dead?
I have been.
Because I've noticed there's been a lot of people that have been kind of...
Falling off.
Yeah, falling off the wagon.
Putting it... Yeah, and sort of casting it aside. You know what? I'm of two opinions this year. The episodes have either been really good or really bad.
Yeah.
Like the premiere, last week's episode, I thought were both standouts. The one with Negan and the priest dude was a standout.
Yep.
Everything else has just been trash.
Yeah.
Pretty much. In my opinion.
The ones with Negan are amazing.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But I think it is because of Negan, but I think equally it's because they are focusing on the characters more so than the episodes without Negan, where it's all just shooting for 60 minutes straight.
Yeah,
those are not exciting.
The one episode that was practically like an action movie, I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
That was just way too much gunfire.
I actually thought last week's episode was one of the best of the season. I really enjoyed last week's episode. I don't know how you feel about it.
And this upcoming Sunday is the mid-season finale.
Yeah, so
they've been teasing that a big, big shocking event's going to happen.
Yeah, where somebody's going to hold a gun to somebody's head, and then you hear a click and cut to black.
Yes.
Because that's what The Walking Dead is now.
Well, it's either that or somebody should get together with the clip and make spaghetti.
Like, I'm not a guy with a bat. I'm just the guy that makes your kids spaghetti.
I just love the fact that
that guy with the bat.
I love the fact that they timed the I make the guy with spaghetti. Great, great. Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, anybody that made me spaghetti, I'd be great, great.
That's right. I will not turn down spaghetti.
Right.
Love me some spaghetti.
You make spaghetti, I'm there.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yes.
Invite the crispy noodle to your house.
Which is show up. I heard you were making spaghetti.
Great, great.
And it's like, how did you hear that? We know.
It's a two-way podcast.
It's a two-way podcast. As you listen to us, we listen to you.
Yes, I heard you. We're Alexa.
I know what you're doing right now.
We work for the CIA.
Of course.
Yeah.
We're listening to you. We're sending your information back to the CIA.
All right.
Anyway.
So now with that out of the way, it's time to move on to the next part of the show. It's time for the part where Mike lets you know what else is coming up this weekend that you should keep an eye out for, not just the Walking Dead mid-season finale. There's other things coming up as well. And it's time for Mike to let you know about it. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I've got balls of steel.
All right, if you got balls of steel, then you will heed Mike's warnings when it comes to This Week in Entertainment. What do you have for us, Mike?
I've got balls of steel.
First up in movies, I have a movie about...
Wasn't that a great transition?
That was a great transition.
I've got balls of steel.
Especially since the first movie is about figure skating. That's right. Go see I, Tonya, premiering this week. It is the true story of the life, rise, and fall of U.S. figure skater Tonya Harding.
I got balls of steel.
You know who's got balls of steel? Margot Robbie. She is a stellar actress. She's starring as the Olympian Tonya Harding in a dramatic and darkly absurd retelling of the infamous scandal of the poorly planned attack on fellow figure skater Nancy Kerrigan that would later come to define Harding's career. This movie's got an 88 on Rotten Tomatoes so far with a 7.7 average rating. It might not be Olympics perfect, but it's still shaping up to be a worthwhile movie. So far, the reviews are all praising Margot Robbie for having a stellar performance. I've seen the trailer. It looks really fun, very intense. It came out of nowhere, so go check out I, Tonya opening up this week.
I've got balls of steel.
It is weird to think with this movie that this actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, when you think of figure skating, you don't think of, like,
you don't think
the
of, like,
high-stakes drama.
Right, and the shady hits, and, yeah, it's...
But, yeah, this was literally, like, a mob hit.
Right, yeah, essentially. And that's what the movie gets into. It's in that slightly absurd way, the absurdity that surrounds the whole event. And if you watch the trailer, you're like, wow, I had no idea that it was like this.
Gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucking old style!
Basically,
yeah.
The trailer has Margot Robbie wielding a shotgun, so, you know.
Gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucking old style!
In a movie about figure skating.
Yeah, but it's a true story.
Yeah, so go check it out. It's impressing a lot of people so far. But also, if you want something a little more serious in select theaters, it's not available everywhere, but this is feeling an important one to mention. Guillermo del Toro's new dark fantasy drama, The Shape of Water, has been making waves with critics.
Dear God.
Oh, I gotta have some fun with it. It's got a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes and a Metacritic score of 85. It's already shaping up to be one of the best films of the year. If you know Guillermo del Toro's work, you know it's sort of a dark fantasy twist. In this story, it's an otherworldly fairy tale set against the backdrop of Cold War era America circa 1962 in a hidden high security government laboratory where a woman works. Lonely Eliza is trapped in a life of isolation. Her life is changed forever when she and her coworker discover a secret classified experiment, this aquatic creature man thing. And it's a story of love and life, and it's very much like Pan's Labyrinth. Have you seen Pan's Labyrinth? So go check out Guillermo del Toro's new The Shape of Water. It's making a lot of impressions on critics, so go check it out. In the world of TV, you know, I completely forgot about The Walking Dead mid-season finale, so I'm glad you brought it up earlier.
There you go. See? I'm covering you.
Thank you. So go check out The Walking Dead's mid-season finale. This Sunday, we're going to be watching it. We might talk about it.
Yep.
We'll have to see how things shake out.
What the shocking surprise will be.
Yeah, I'm dying to know. If you're not a fan of The Walking Dead, though...
There'll be a lot of that.
There will be a lot of that. But if you're not a fan of that, you can go check out this political drama, The Crown Returns, for its second season on Netflix. The Crown is a biographical drama series about the political intrigue and domestic drama of the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. Season 1 covered the late 40s and early 50s. Season 2 is focusing on the late 50s and early 60s. The series has enjoyed plenty of critical acclaim with a 90% and 8.7 average rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So go check out The Crown on Netflix. Finally, in the world of video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. But that's not the big news. The big news is there are two huge collections coming out this week. Horizon Zero Dawn, the complete edition, is coming out, as well as The Walking Dead, the Telltale series collection. The Horizon Zero Dawn complete edition includes the incredible new IP that was released earlier this year, in addition to the Frozen Wilds expansion. Basically, two games for the price of one. Meanwhile, the Walking Dead Telltale series includes all three seasons, the 400 Days DLC, and the Michonne miniseries, all with enhanced graphics for next-gen consoles. So go check out both those games this week.
Yeah, and if you're a Walking Dead fanatic and you haven't played the Walking Dead Telltale games, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's the perfect time to get it. All it's basically six games. All of them can be completed in a couple of sittings. It's a fantastic series. It spawned an entire genre of games, so definitely go check it out. If you are a fan of The Walking Dead, it's a must play.
Yep, and if you don't, we will remember that.
That's right. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that. This week in entertainment, we have another big update to one of our shows that we have to mention. This story came out, and I mean, we've commented on this a couple of times, but now the official word has been approved from Netflix. House of Cards is going to continue season 6, despite the fact that Netflix wants nothing to do with Kevin Spacey, and Kevin Spacey will be completely out of season 6 after all the recent sexual abuse allegations. So now that this is confirmed by Netflix, I don't know. It kind of bothers me.
It does, and I thought it would bother you because it kind of bothers me too. The fact that this was kind of a stunning reversal. You know, in October, Netflix cancels House of Cards, saying they don't want anything to do with Kevin Spacey. And then now, about a month and a half later, they're saying, okay, we're going forward with the sixth and final season, and we're going to write Kevin Spacey out by having one of the main plots be the death of Frank Underwood. And I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that that angle.
Yeah, it kind of seems forced and rushed into the series.
I mark my words, you can quote me as saying this, the season will open with the words 2 years later.
Well, yeah, there's going to have to be some sort of time.
And pass. then they're going to, the first words are going to be like, I can't believe he's been gone 2 years. They're
going to have to do a whole lot of exposition on it.
It's going to be Exposition Avenue. It's going to be Flashback Boulevard. It's going to be all these stupid narrative gimmicks that nobody likes when they're that ham-fisted. If they're integrated naturally, go for it. Like, Lost did a really good job with it. A lot of shows have done a really good job with it. But when you're writing it in at the 11th hour to make a spring/summer release next year, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
The quality's been declining for about 3 years straight, and I don't expect it to get better with this announcement.
Yeah, I think this is the wrong move, especially since they had so much hesitation in doing this. It just makes me believe that behind the scenes they don't know what they're doing.
They were in production. That means they got a scrap. See, people don't realize, like, when a show comes out in June, that show is finished filming by around this time, probably. And then it goes into post-production, all that jazz, marketing, etc., etc. So you have to figure they're reshooting a lot. They're rewriting a lot. It's only 8 episodes. Did it start out at the normal 13? And now they're just straight up cutting 5 episodes worth of content? This is how you get the DC superhero movies.
Hey.
By making decisions like this, you end up with Suicide Squad and Justice League. These Frankenstein films.
Yeah, the Suicide Squad is the result of that.
And that's what we're going to get for the final season of House of Cards. I'm excited that Robin Wright's getting her chance to star as the leading lady. I think she does a fantastic job. I think this is a mistake, though.
Yeah, you know, not to take anything away from Robin Wright.
She's fantastic.
But I feel like season 6 is obviously going to be, I don't want to say tainted, but you're going to know that the whole reason why she's the only star of the show is because Kevin Spacey did all the sexual abuse allegations.
The problem with creating such a compelling character, and just to keep things clear in case anybody is confused, you have to separate the character from the person who's playing the character. I'm referring to the character. When you create such a compelling character that is such a strong presence and focal point of the narrative, that person casts such a looming shadow.
Yeah.
That the absence of that figure, it leaves it feeling deflated. It's like if they suddenly were like, you know what, we're going to take Rick, Daryl, and Michonne out of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like, think about the episodes where they're not in it.
You can't take out...
You can't take out your central characters that drive the action and drama and have it feel the same. Yeah. I feel like they're going to be missing a big piece of the puzzle.
Right. So
production woes, missing pieces. I'm still gonna watch it. I love my House of Cards, but I'm not overly excited for it.
Yeah, it definitely treading cautiously with my expectations for this season. Well, actually, let's be honest. It's probably gonna be the end.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, they've said it's the final season.
Yeah. So
could they spin it off? Is this a season that bridges to a spinoff series with just Robin Wright? That's what I want to know.
Maybe, but then what? Do they have to call it something different, like Claire of Cards or something? House of Claire?
House of Claire. It's just a house built out of Claire's.
Yeah. Of Queens. That's it. Nothing Queens. But Queens in the deck.
Oh, there you
house
go.
House of Claire.
They'll call it...
Hey, wait a minute. I like this idea.
They'll call it Old Maid. That's the card game where you have the Queens, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not being offensive towards Claire Underwood. I'm making playing
joke. Yeah, we're staying with the card playing
here. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Damn it. If that happens, we need to get a share of the profits. Copyright, yes. Crispy Noodle. We had this idea first.
Yeah.
2017.
It's been copyrighted. Yes. We've said it.
We said it.
It's official.
Yeah.
Netflix is like, damn! They're so smart.
We've copyrighted it!
Okay, Michael Scott.
I declare bankruptcy!
Yeah, see, just like that. Yeah, that's how it works, right?
That's one of my favorite clips.
All right, well, let's move on to something else that is also good. Something we actually are looking forward towards, and that is some trailer talk here. The big news is that the Avengers Infinity War trailer came out this past week. And, of course, this bolted. I think this was the number one most watched
video on YouTube this past
week. Well, right as of the time of this recording, this video on Marvel's official channel has 86.7 million views.
In a week.
Yeah. It only came out a few days ago.
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to the opening lines of this trailer, and then we'll give our analysis on it. How does that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, let's play the trailer.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more. So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
There you go.
Yes.
Fantastic. So those are the opening lines of the trailer. They're setting it up for the biggest battle that the Avengers have ever faced.
Yeah.
This is Thanos, Infinity Gauntlet. What were some of the most exciting moments in the trailer for you, Rich? What are you looking forward to most from this movie?
I like the fact that Thanos is actually, like, there's going to be, like, a quest for him to get each stone individually. So
yeah,
that also will give us time to explain where each stone is right now. Because I feel like there's
a
little bit. Yeah, there's, like, a little bit of, I feel like a little bit of confusion, especially if you haven't seen the Marvel movies in a while. Like, who has, where is each stone?
Not to mention, one has not been revealed yet.
Right.
So I'm really interested to see, and there's some speculation that that's what the first movie is going to be about, is hunting down that last stone. For those of you that have seen the trailer, he has two, which is really interesting.
Right.
Because I really want to know how he gets those two stones. And then the rumors flying right now are that the gist of the movie is he's hunting down that missing stone, potentially. We don't know. But yeah, I like the idea of a quest type movie,
right?
Where he's going around getting the stones, and our heroes have to try and hunt him down everywhere he goes.
Also, Chris Evans as Captain America looks badass with the beard, and
yeah,
that was a good call.
Yeah, that was
look more rugged.
A nice change for the character. You know who I really liked in the trailer though. Spider-Man.
Oh, of course you did.
hold on, though, because he was written very quickly into Civil War, and his standalone movie was really good. I feel like he's going to play a big part in this Infinity War storyline, because if you look at Marvel's slate of movies coming out, it's Black Panther, Infinity War, then it's the Ant-Man sequel, Captain Marvel, Infinity War 2, and then Spider-Man. So there's an untitled Spider-Man movie after the Infinity War arc. I think he's the next Captain America / Iron Man for the Avengers.
The next leader?
I think so. Why else would you lead off the... Why would you end Infinity War and immediately start with a Spider-Man movie? I feel like that's what they're building up to. That's what I'm excited for.
How about we make our predictions right here?
Okay.
Which of the Avengers is going to die?
Ooh. That's a question and a half.
Because
somebody's going to die. Oh, man. Just because I don't think Disney will want to sacrifice the marketing and the retail space, it's not going to be one of the originals. I think it's going to be Falcon. Falcon's dead.
That's it?
I think so.
Oh.
They're not. You're telling me they're going to kill Iron Man or Captain America?
It would add some serious gravity to the films.
It would, but this is also a superhero movie made by Marvel and Disney.
Okay.
They're very light in tone. DC is the dark one, and they've not been doing well with it.
Can I? Why do you keep dissing DC?
Because they suck!
Come on!
Help
me out here!
They stumbled ass backwards into the Nolan trilogy, and after that they've just been stumbling around in the dark, they're not even throwing darts at a dartboard, they're just throwing darts. But anyway, I'm not gonna diss on DC. Yeah. I'm enjoying Marvel's time in the spotlight.
Alright,
so what's your theory?
If they should kill
Ant-Man and cancel the sequel.
No. Wow.
I'm not a fan of the idea of an Ant-Man sequel, but anyway.
I think if one has to go, I think it's going to be Captain America, because he does die in the comics, so there is precedence that you do have a death of Captain America. Chris Evans, I believe, has said
in an interview or two that he has been looking towards getting past Captain America because
he does want to move on.
He wants to do other things. He's done Snowpiercer. He's done other dramatic
directing
roles.
And acting.
Right. And I think that would be the momentous death. That would be like, oh my gosh, one of the originals is dead.
I would love that from a narrative perspective. Because they also have Bucky Barnes waiting in the wings.
I hate to say it, but I think you almost need it. I hate to say it. If all the original Avengers make it through Infinity War,
yeah,
it's kind of like, well, then you know they all have plot armor.
What are the stakes?
Right, there's no stakes.
And the other thing, and I'm just getting chills thinking about it. The only death that could bring that team. Remember, at the end of Civil War, they're split up. Yeah. The only death that brings that team back together is Captain America's.
Yeah, because everybody respected him.
Yeah. Tony Stark was a friend. Everybody else he was an icon to, or he was a friend or a teammate, whatever you want to phrase it. He's the one that, if Hulk dies, they're like, eh. I mean, maybe Black Widow's upset. Maybe Thor's upset, you know. But if Captain America dies, that's like, and there's a lot of other symbolism behind it too.
Yeah,
you know, the death of freedom and hope and all, you know, all that other stuff and everything he represented, the death of that is the low point. That is the Empire Strikes Back
moment. Yeah,
before the Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I take my guess, I'm going with Captain America.
I love that idea. Not going to happen. There's too many toys to be sold. I'm serious. You have to look at looking at it from the narrative perspective, and then looking at it from we're a billion-dollar corporation. How can we continue to make billions of dollars?
So by your logic, yeah, you absolutely think all the original guys are going to stay alive.
I hate to say it, but I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that all of them stay alive. As much as that feels so. Unrealistic in a superhero movie. You know what I mean. Unrealistic given the rules of the world. They're fighting a god, a titan. Somebody has to die, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that Disney's willing to bite that bullet.
Yeah. Then I think the whole story's going to suffer then. Because then it's like, yeah, then they all have plot armor, and I know they're never going to die.
Right.
If Thanos can't kill one of them off, I think it would be a little ridiculous.
I will say this, though. The trailer does sound pretty dark and grim. A much darker tone than previous movies have taken.
Yeah.
There's a line that I love by Thanos where he's like, you know, you know what it feels like to fail when you know you're right and you fail anyway. You know, so there's a sense of dread and a sense of hopelessness, which, strangely, I'm looking forward to. Because too many times it's just that destruction porn where they're just knocking down city blocks and they're like, wow, that was a rough weekend. You know,
yeah.
I want to see it. I want to see the impact on these characters. Iron Man 3 did that, where Tony Stark had the PTSD going on from New York, the first Avengers movie. I want to see that again. I want to see that come back and that be a part of it. So I absolutely agree that I would love to see Captain America killed. I wouldn't love to see it's not that I want him to die, but he makes the most sense to die.
Yeah. I think somebody has to, or else there's no stakes. But there you go. Looking forward to Infinity War. It looks really good. I think
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm so ready for this movie.
Yeah, 2018 is going to be an interesting year.
Oh, yeah.
But that does not mean we're not living here in the here and now in 2017, because we still have one more segment left to go on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and that is the non-fortune cookie odd news. I got some interesting stories that will make you laugh your ass off. So don't go anywhere, because coming up next, the odd news. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunching.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. Moving along in this three-course meal, a meal for your mind. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you have a minute, make sure to leave us a podcast review, either on iTunes or Stitcher, or however else you're listening to us. And make sure to give us a like on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. All right. But now it is time to get to the portion of the show where I give you some of the strangest but true news. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's time for one of my favorite segments of all time. It's the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. Finds all these weird and wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me so that I've never seen them before, ensuring that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down absurd and insane new paths. And I'm ready to get started. I'm excited. What do you got for us, Rich? What's the first story on the docket?
Well, I love the fact the way you phrased that, just absurd and wacky thoughts and everything like that.
Okay.
Because this first story, man, I don't know who thought of this, but sure. It's a list. It belongs in our list of weird inventions.
Okay. All right. There's been some weird ones out there,
yep.
But if it's good enough for the odd news, it's probably really weird.
Well, you know, in this era, everything's becoming smart, right? You have
right.
phones, they become smartphones,
right,
watches,
right.
smart watches.
Smart TVs, smart fridges, everything.
Right, so why not have smart condoms?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yes.
Okay.
It is smart.
How does that work?
You know I meant, did he use a condom?
Only sailors use condoms, baby.
Not in the 90s, Austin.
Well, they should, those filthy beggars. They go from port to port.
So, this is a true story here. Okay. A smart condom that will track intimate data has officially been revealed by a British company simply called British Condoms. They're right to the point.
Very original. Where
yep.
are we located? Britain.
Yep.
What do you make? Condoms.
Yeah.
British condoms.
Yeah. They didn't put too much...
Do the condoms have an accent?
You know I meant, did he use a condom?
Only sailors use condoms, baby.
Not in the 90s, Austin.
Well, they should, those filthy beggars. They go from port to port.
British Condoms has released the first the first prototype of the Fitbit-esque tracker that is being
what?
Called the Icon. Is that a condom? Icon?
Right.
So, should
this
I get...
This is
you,
so creepy.
Are you ready to get into details about this?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I guess so. no, because this is going to be absurdly creepy, isn't it?
So... the tracker fits around the base of the penis and will send sexual data to your smartphone.
Oh.
Like,
oh, good for you.
Like what? Like your thrusts per minute or something? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The
what's your TPM?
The
thrust per minute?
The band will measure the number and velocity of your thrust.
Velocity?
Yeah, you're going to measure your velocity.
Oh, man, I'm clocking 12 miles an hour.
Oh, good for you.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It will also measure the total duration of your, quote, sessions. I love the fact it had to phrase it like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, you know, obviously we're all trying to, you know, watch our weight here. It will measure calories burned. That's nice,
okay,
isn't it?
There you go. That's very thoughtful.
Makes you feel better.
That's so weird. So people are going to keep stats on their, like really obsessive stats about their lovemaking.
Oh, good for you.
It's going to be like, oh, you see here, I had an off night this night. I was below average in TPM.
Right. Don't start them on your fantasy team.
That's what I'm thinking. It's going to be like fantasy league sports or like baseball statistics where everything has an abbreviation and, it's weird. People are comparing numbers. I'm leading the league.
Oh, no.
I'm leading the league in velocity. Oh. Nobody can match my velocity. It's like, it's just so unnecessary.
Oh, by the way, since this is all going to your smartphone, all this data will be shareable.
Wow.
Yeah, if you really want to brag
that's
about it.
That's a big
it.
No.
Oh, good for you.
It's just, and post to Facebook. And your grandma's like, what is this? That sounds like a terrible idea. Terrible idea. That's worse than shareable links on porn sites.
Yeah.
Like accidentally clicking a share link on one of those sites, like that's bad. But if you accidentally click the share link on this thing, it's like, you know, Auntie on Facebook is like, what are you posting? Why are you doing this?
What does 8 thrusts mean?
8 thrusts. Oh man, hopefully
it's more
than
that. Are you building a rocket ship?
Building a rocket ship. I got my stage 2 rocket ready to go.
Are you in the science fair, Billy?
That's a strange science fair. Line up, people. Watch this. Little Billy got suspended because his science fair project was really creepy.
Oh, yeah. This is really creepy. Anyway, the icon isn't an actual condom, but it is instead a device that you wear on top of one.
Well, yeah. They can't incorporate this stuff into a condom. Because it requires, like, electronics and... Right?
Like, yeah, but it's still on there.
It's still on there. I don't know. It's just, why do they think that this was a thing that people wanted
right?
or needed?
Like, I didn't need to know how many thrusts I'm doing.
Yeah, no, it's unnecessary. And it's strange and creepy. And it raises a whole bunch of privacy concerns. Like, do you have to download their app? Are they storing this data? Like...
Where's Alex Jones when we need him?
This is an Alex Jones issue right here.
One thrust.
That's all he needs. Yeah. Just that one thrust.
That's it.
Oh my God.
That's it. One thrust. Done.
Now, is that the build-up or the finish? He's like, I'm charging up. I'm getting ready. Oh, my God.
British Condom says that it is designed for maximum comfort and says that it can also detect if chlamydia or gonorrhea is present.
Oh,
which that, can you share that information? That's not good. I don't want that information to be shared.
Yeah, that's. This whole thing is just wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong on many levels.
The British condom spokesman also says that an LED will emit a purple light if STIs are present.
Oh, no. I've gone purple.
Yeah. What's next? Is it going to beep? Like, beep, 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 beep. Danger, danger, danger,
danger. Red lights start flashing.
Yeah.
Ahooga. Abort, abort. Like,
abort? What is this, Mission? Are you trying to think like Mission Impossible or something?
Well, it's flashing LEDs, and in your version, it's playing sounds.
Yeah, so it's telling you to abort now, too.
Oh,
they didn't have that on the Impossible Mission Task Force.
No, they didn't.
They had the face masking thing.
I don't know if this would come in handy.
Ethan Hunt, he probably gets laid every now and then. Yeah, he needs the...
Well, what use does he have in the mission?
Don't ask questions, Mike!
I see you struggling with it.
I need to know if STIs are present.
Okay.
Before I can move forward in my objective.
Okay.
All right?
And yeah, you gotta steal the intel, and to do that, you gotta measure your thrusts per minute.
It all goes back to the IMF database. All right?
Oh, man.
British Condoms also says that the device will use end-to-end encryption. So they're trying to make you feel better that it won't be, your information won't be stolen.
It doesn't change the fact that you're basically putting a Fitbit on your penis.
Yeah.
And you're now going to have baseball-like stats for your sex life.
But
it's
apparently...
weird.
But apparently, there's a demand for this. They said that British Condoms has received over 900,000 pre-registrations for the Icon.
Wow.
So,
they proved me wrong.
Yeah, apparently this is
a lot of
high
people
demand.
A lot of people want to get into the nitty-gritty stats.
Need to know my batting average.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. It's a real thing. The smart condom, the Icon.
Do they have an app? Like, do you have to download their proprietary app?
Yeah, because it goes on your smartphone, yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't know about that.
All right, let's get to our next story here. Going back home, we're going to California, back stateside.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, you know, it's the holidays. We're all looking forward to Amazon deliveries.
Right.
But this is one that you don't want in your driveway. A California man who suspected that his neighbor's dog was pooping in his driveway checked his home security camera and found out that the real culprit was the Amazon delivery driver.
My bunghole, it goes rakakaka, and then sometimes my bunghole goes
Yeah. Nimi Batista of Sacramento said that he found a large piece of fecal matter at the end of his driveway when he arrived home at 3 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon. He thought it was a neighbor's dog, so he checked the home security camera. That's when he was shocked when he reviewed the video and discovered that the delivery service driver contracted by Amazon squatted behind the U-Haul van and dropped the dookie.
My bunghole, it goes rakakaka, rakakaka, and then sometimes my bunghole goes
Yeah.
Oh, man. I guess he just really needed to go.
Yeah.
He just couldn't hold it in. Yeah.
After posting the video on Facebook, Batista said that a delivery service supervisor visited his home to apologize.
Well, that was nice.
And the representative felt very sorry about the whole incident and gave Batista an Amazon gift card.
Wow.
So I guess he made out, you know, I mean.
Yeah, somebody pooped on your driveway and you get an Amazon card.
My bunghole, it goes rakakaka, rakakaka. And then sometimes my bunghole goes...
You guys, look at my dirty girl.
So, just fun question here for you, Mike.
Yeah.
It doesn't say in the news report, how much do you think had to be on the Amazon gift card for him to be cool with the guy pooping in the driveway?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Oh, man.
How much would you be satisfied
with?
How
much would I be satisfied
with? If you had to clean up some...
Ooh.
Yeah. A number two in your driveway.
I mean, oh, that's really gross.
Yeah.
You could just use a shovel, like a big shovel, and just throw the entire shovel away or set it on fire or something.
But set the shovel on fire.
Set the shovel on fire. But it still leaves a stain on the driveway that you got to wash off. It's just gross. Ew. It's, how much would I need? A couple $100s, maybe. What would you be willing to do it for?
Yeah, it has to be at least $100.
At least $100.
At
yeah.
least $100. If it's anything, that's an insult.
Yeah, I'm not expecting like thousands of dollars.
How dare you take a dump on my driveway?
Yeah, it's got to be at least $100. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just gross and weird.
Also, by the way, the driver has been fired. So,
well, yeah, he's taking dumps on people's driveways. He didn't even try to hide it, though.
Yeah, he just...
Like, there's no, like, flower bed. You couldn't do it, like, in, you know, somewhere that's more discreet. You're just like, nope, right here, in the middle of the driveway.
Yeah, at least provide some fertilizer for my flowers.
Exactly, right? Try to hide it. Or, like, you know, be decent and scoop your poop up. That's bad. When you have to tell people to scoop up your own poop.
Yeah, man, come on. All right, let's move on to our next story here. Let's do this one here. Going to Virginia in our next one here. And, I know you love these kinds of stories. Dumb criminals here.
Love me some dumb criminals.
A 26-year-old Portsmouth, Virginia man was sentenced to 15 years in prison for his involvement in 6 different armed robberies. 26-year-old Rashad Harris helped rob multiple banks and financial institutions that include Title Max stores and Advanced American Cash Advance and a Wells Fargo center. He also robbed a BB&T as well. So he's got a pretty good list here.
Yeah.
So his scam was that him and a conspirator would enter the banks pretending to be interested in obtaining a loan, and then they would brandish firearms when they were off guard and demand money.
The way that this article is written makes it seem like this is some, like, completely new tactic.
Well, I
mean... Isn't that just every robbery?
No, because, no, the whole obtaining a loan thing, like, they physically go with, like, because, like, there's, like, a...
Oh, like the little office area.
Right, the little offices areas.
Okay,
so they would wait
true,
until
true.
Then and then okay. try and steal money. So, anyway, so for the most part, I guess it worked for a little bit because they made 6 different armed robberies. However,
right.
Are you ready for the thing that finally caught him?
Okay, what do you got?
Authorities finally caught Harris because of a note that Harris handed to the teller during the Wells Fargo robbery. The note that Harris had handed the teller at this robbery actually was on the back of a check that had his name on it.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Are you kidding me?
I know you're at a bank and all. But you got to try and find a different piece of paper.
you couldn't find
there was
any
nothing
piece...
else in the bank that you could write something on.
Right. A napkin.
I bet they were trying to be slick and they're like, oh, I'm going to fill out this check and hand it to this person. And when they look at it, they're going to see the note. What an idiot.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Also, who just carries checks with them anymore?
Yeah,
that's the stranger thing. I can't remember the last time I filled out a check.
At least by young people, 26-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, they're even younger
than
we are.
Like, I mean, I can understand, you know, a little bit older, they still use checks, but this guy's a 26-year-old. He's still using checks, really?
Yeah, that's weird.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Honestly, that's the strangest thing about the story, is that this dude's like, I'm robbing banks, I better bring my checkbook.
Yeah.
Why?
Just in case.
You're robbing the bank. You don't need your checkbook.
Sometimes...
You don't write pay to the order of robbery or something. You're like, what was he planning on? What was he planning on doing? Well, after
who's Mr. Robbery?
You know what he thought? After I rob them, I'm going to make a deposit.
All in one trip.
Well, hey, it saves you some time, right?
I'm busy, man.
They're like, give the money from the vault, and also I'd like to deposit this money.
Very busy man over here.
Doesn't make any sense.
After the robbery happened, personnel at the bank looked up Harris on Facebook using his information from the check and immediately recognized him as the man who had robbed the bank. In addition to his prison sentence, Harris was also ordered to pay $12,428 in restitution, which was allegedly the total amount that was taken during all the armed robberies. But the bigger thing is he's going to spend 15 years in prison. So
wow.
Yep.
That sucks. And all because the only thing you could find to write on was a check.
Yeah, come on, man. You got to find
banks
something else.
Banks have paper, though.
Yeah, you got
to. Like, at least
on,
the banks that I've
else.
Been to, they have, like, that little desk with all those different, like, deposit slips.
Use
and
one of those,
withdrawal slips and stuff. Use one, yeah.
Stop at Burger King. Go get napkins. Something.
Like, literally anything.
Anything else would have been preferable.
Scrawl a note on your hand and just hold it up to the person.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, well, I wrote below this line, so that means the check is voided. Right?
I did the right thing, yes.
Yeah, I did the right thing.
Nobody will use this check.
It's voided. They're not going to use it.
All right. How about we get to our Florida stories here? I got two Florida stories for you this week.
Okay, let's do it.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. This first Florida story is just outright creepy here. A 29-year-old Daytona Beach man was arrested after arranging a meetup with a woman who said that he was going to allow him to have sex with her 13 and 14-year-old daughters.
Ooh, that's not good.
Oh,
that's not good.
Yeah. He had planned to protect himself by claiming that, quote, I'm going to marry one of the teens so that we are protected by any religious institutions.
What?
If we end up in the wrong hands. I don't think that's how this works.
No.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah.
So was he planning to marry this teen before they got it on or after they got it on?
I think he was just going to use it as an excuse.
Oh, just like, I'm planning to marry her.
Right, so we're allowed to do it or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
that's
no.
That's not how this
right,
works.
This is, yeah, right. This is not how anything works.
I was planning to... That's like, going, you know, you can't just say you were planning to do something and it negates the crime you just committed.
Yeah, that's not how this works.
Because you done goofed.
Yeah, this is... Oof.
That's like if you rob a bank, you're like, well, I was planning to work a solid 40-hour week. So I'm just taking the money in advance. Like,
well, yeah, officer, I planned on working a 40-hour week.
Right.
Just to put everyone at ease, it turns out that the person that the man was actually talking to was an undercover agent for the Daytona Beach Police Department, and no teen girls were harmed in this sting operation, so don't worry.
That's good.
So anyway, here's how it went down. The agent saw an ad that was posted online from 29-year-old Vance Taylor that said simply, quote, hire me and I will impregnate your wife, your sister, or your daughter.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
This is
That's
a thing?
Some wishful thinking, don't you
this
think?
This is a thing?
I can just take out an ad?
Yeah. Hi. What the hell?
There's so many things wrong with that because say somebody does hire you. Let's just say in some
what
weird
is your service. Oh, and I'm just knocking you up. That's it.
That's the service. Say somebody does hire you. What's to stop that person from coming back and getting you for like child support?
Yeah,
it's a bad idea.
Or this guy is so desperate, like he just doesn't care.
He's taking out an ad. I'll impregnate people for you. That's creepy.
The undercover agent who was posing as a mother with two young daughters communicated with Taylor via email and text messages. So that's great. Now they have a record of what he wanted.
Paper trail.
When he asked which of the daughter between the third, because she claimed she had a 13 and a 14-year-old daughter. Remember?
Right. Right.
When asked which girl he was interested in, Taylor texted the undercover agent, quote, don't worry about it. Hey, I'm not picky. Boy, this guy, obviously,
he put an ad out in the paper.
It's very classy here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll just take anything.
Yeah, whichever one you don't want.
That's awful. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. He told the agent that, quote, I'm using marriage to stay out of jail. It will all work. No.
Don't worry. I have this all figured out.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Taylor was held without bond in the county jail on charges of using a two-way communication device to commit a felony, using a computer to solicit a parent or guardian for consent, and traveling to meet after using a computer to lure a child.
Those are all very specific charges.
They are, but they
and
are
very
necessary.
Wordy charges.
Yeah, they could.
You use a computer to go on the internet and enable a chat program and talk to a person. That person have to be underage, and they offered you, like, you need a simpler way to say it.
Yeah.
Like soliciting sex online.
Right. This guy is right to the point. I will impregnate your wife, your sister, or your daughter.
Yeah, see, so he had the wrong idea, but he had a good execution in terms of how to succinctly phrase what you want.
He should have been a paralegal.
Exactly.
Should have been a paralegal.
He missed his true calling.
Yeah. Get things right to the point.
Yeah. Such a shame.
But
all that talent wasted.
Yeah. This guy's definitely creepy.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't worry about it. I'm not picking.
You have to be really, really full of yourself to be like, I'm just going to post an ad to impregnate random women.
Yeah.
And people will hire me.
Who wants it?
Who wants it? Yeah. I'm the hot new product this Christmas season.
It's a shame he didn't wait for 4 months when the condom came out so he could brag about his statistics.
Right, yeah. It's like...
you know? He could have had his statistics listed.
Right, that would have made the ad more compelling. It's like, I will impregnate your sister, wife, whatever. I have, you know, a 26 TPM rating and a... what?
Yeah, that's another thing, too, is like, go back to the actual title. I will impregnate your wife, your sister, or your daughter. Like, when's the last time you're like, hey, sis, I found this. I found somebody you need to check out in the, you
hey,
know.
Sis, I know you're looking for someone, and I think I found the guy.
In
he
the
had
newspaper.
An ad in the newspaper. He's going to knock you up real nice.
Yeah, like, what?
Can't wait to meet my new nephew. It's like,
what the? God, creepy.
That's just messed up.
Creepy messed Florida up. Men. Well, at least this was all part of a sting and...
Yeah, well, he's off the street now.
Yeah, he's off the street, so it's all good. All right, let's get to more traditional Florida odd news stories here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, you're gonna like this one. I know this. A Florida man, police found with pain pills in his pocket, said that, quote, "I'm completely unaware of this in my pants." Wow. Yeah, completely unaware.
I had no idea.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
That didn't keep 28-year-old Alvin Pierre Lewis out of jail after police stopped his silver sedan, according to a police report. Police said that around 3 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon, his vehicle did not come to a complete stop at the stop sign. The driver, who was identified as Pierre Lewis, then made a quick movement to his pants, as if he was trying to hide an item, according to police report. Police reported that the vehicle smelled of marijuana and that there was a large bulge protruding from his front pocket.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
When asked by the cops what was in his pockets, Pierre Lewis said...
He should have just said, I really like a person in uniform. I'm just happy to see you, officer.
No, instead, he said, I'm unaware of what this could be.
What?
I borrowed these pants from my friend this morning.
What?
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up.
It's like, hey, Bob, can I borrow your pants, please?
Yeah.
Also, how did you get to Bob's house without pants? And so you get the pants, and you're like, and you don't pause and think, what's this giant bulge in the pocket? And you don't feel it at all through the entire day.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Mike,
I got to tell you something. Before I leave here tonight, I
got to
borrow
a pair of pants.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm unaware of what's in he didn't put his hands in his pockets at all. He can't feel it as he's sitting down in the car. It just, come on, buddy. You got to come up with a better excuse. I think my erection excuse was better than that. He should have gone with that one.
Investigators found that the pills were Percocets.
Okay.
And they found pot on him. Police said that they didn't, or Pierre Lewis said that police wouldn't find any weapons or drugs in the car. But police did a thorough search of the car and found a BB gun and more marijuana. They also found more than $1,500 in cash. That sounds a little shady.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah. Pierre Lewis then claimed that, quote, I'm not aware of these pills. I thought they were just aspirins. Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah, he messed up.
Because you done goofed.
Yeah, this guy.
They're aspirins in a prescription bottle that's labeled Percocet.
So you get... nothing. You lose.
Good day, sir. I said good day.
So, hold on. First, he says, I'm unaware of what's in the pocket. Then they take it out. He says, I wasn't aware that it's Percocet. So does that mean you knew that it was in there? The story is falling apart.
Yeah.
Every word that he says just falls apart.
Yeah, he's not very smart here.
No.
Pierre Lewis was arrested on charges of possession of marijuana with intent to sell, possession of a controlled substance without a prescription, possession of more than 20 grams of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia.
There you go. That's
full boatload.
That's the drug grand slam right there.
Yeah.
Possession with intent to sell, possession of more than you're allowed to have. Good job.
Yeah, he got a full.
That's impressive right there.
Full boatload there.
Yeah.
All right, and I got one more piece of odd news for you. It's not Florida.
Okay.
This takes place at the U.S.-Mexico border.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very hotly disputed border, of course.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a good thing you mentioned that. Yeah, there's just so much drama and so many stories that we're hearing from the Mexico border. This one, I think, hits home, and we all need to pay attention to, because among the many things that are coming over the border, we need to be aware of smuggling illegal contraband sausage.
Sausage.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages! Sausages!
Yeah.
How is the sausage contraband?
Well, we'll get to that in the story here.
Okay.
A woman was driving into the U.S. through Paso del Norte crossing when she told U.S. Customs and Border Protection agencies that she wasn't carrying fruits, vegetables, or other contraband. However, agents noticed that the floor mats were not secured properly to the floor of her vehicle. That's when she told them that she was carrying contraband bologna and sausage in the vehicle.
You said you'd bring me sausages. I don't see no sausages. I want sausages. Sausages are good.
That's when the officers pulled the floor mats out, and they found over 227 pounds of sausages and bologna under the floor mats.
Sausages are good. Sausages. I want sausages. I want sausages.
Yes.
That's a lot of sausage.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how much do you guys make at your annual Soprasata gathering?
We make about that much.
Yeah. And she's carrying it through the floorboard of her floor mats of her car.
That amount of meat fills about two or three folding tables.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages! Sausages!
I'm just amazed that she fit that much in
her
car.
You're not even mad.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. That's a lot of meat to fit. You said under the floor mats?
Yeah.
Where was this exactly? Like, was there, like a space under the floor mats? Or were the floor mats just, like, on top of huge stacks of meat?
Well, I guess it says under the floor mats.
Okay.
So I guess there was like a compartment.
There must be some sort of... I don't think people realize how much 200 and some pounds of meat are.
Right,
is.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of meat.
The woman was given a $1,000 fine. To answer your question, Mike, bologna especially is considered contraband because it has a potential to introduce foreign diseases into the U.S. pork industry.
Oh.
So, yeah, definitely not bologna. Don't try and sneak that over the border.
Okay. I did not know that.
However, if you are carrying bologna from Mexico into the United States, all you should have to do is declare your agricultural items and have them inspected into the border. So, apparently, I mean, maybe there's so much, but apparently if you're just bringing, like, you know, a regular, reasonable amount of bologna,
right,
you're fine.
Not hundreds of pounds.
Right, not 227 pounds of bologna and sausages.
What does the inspection entail, though? And also, do you have to declare, like, how much bologna do you have to declare it? Like, if you have a bologna sandwich, Do you guys say, well, I got a bologna sandwich? Do they inspect the bologna sandwich?
Yes.
Yes,
we
they
must
do.
Go through.
We had to taste test it. It's all gone.
You said you'd bring me sausages. I don't see no sausages. I want sausages. Sausages are good.
What is that?
It's an old skit from the Kids in the Hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that at all.
Are you amazed at how many sausage clips I have?
You have an alarming amount of sausage clips.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages, sausages.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap this episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
That you have an alarming amount of sausage clips. You just debuted a new one tonight. Another really weird one. I don't think there's any end to them.
No.
I think that if you just keep digging, you'll keep finding more and more sausage clips.
Just for you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. you know, I learned a lot, but I also had some questions. Like, why are criminals carrying checks to bank robberies?
Yeah.
That's the one thing I didn't learn. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Why are people carrying checks, period?
Yeah.
They're an outdated...
Really?
What?
Do people still use them?
I guess. I don't know. It just seems very outdated to me. Speaking of money matters, though, we both discovered that we would need at least $100 to be okay with somebody pooping on our driveway.
Yes, at least.
$100 is the minimum.
At least.
I would prefer more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But come on, Amazon.
They have enough money to cover their drivers pooping.
Right.
So, come on. Cough it up. But I also learned that people like keeping advanced statistics on their sex life.
Yes.
And by advanced, I don't mean how many. I mean thrusts per minute, duration. What were the other stats?
Velocity of
velocity.
The thrust. Yeah, you're gonna know way too much information about your sex life.
Probably more than you wanted to know.
Yeah.
Or if you're really into statistics, maybe it's just enough. Maybe you're one of the hundreds of thousands of people that signed up for the smart condom.
900,000.
900,000. You crazy people, you.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right.
I don't know what else to say.
You guys are freaky.
You guys are weird.
And that's what we've learned on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And that will wrap up another interesting episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Boy, don't you learn things?
We learn a lot of things.
Yeah.
This is basically an educational podcast.
Yes. For things that you probably didn't need to know. But it's helpful. Just in case.
Never, it doesn't hurt. Let's put it that way.
Right. Doesn't hurt that much. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in to our crazy little show. Thank you guys for supporting us here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the best bits of The Crispy Noodle Podcast that we call the Mini Noodles. Check that out for a quick 2 to 3 minute promo that'll make you laugh your ass off instantaneously.
That's right. There's plenty of ways to get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I can't remember my words.
Yeah, you're right over there.
I'm fine. You know what it is? It's everybody's sending me all these crazy smart condom statistics. Stop using that share function. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But if you want to get in touch with
my NyQuil,
I might have to take you up on that offer.
Okay.
But if you want to
wait, before you do that, I need to borrow your pants.
Of course. Just watch out for the Percocets that are in there.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, minus the weird smart condom stats, you can find me at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening in your world. But for now, I think that will wrap up this week's episode. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.